Blog Talk Radio.
Dr. Williams, that's you.
Say what?
Not Dr. Williams. Okay.
Oh, Dr. Wilson?
No, hold on. Brother B?
Yeah, I'm here.
For Dr. Williams. You down. Yeah. I'm gonna put you on mute for a minute.
Okay.
Yes, yes, yes. This is another episode of Wake Up African People, and I am the Truth Doctor, along with my guest host, Brother B. We are here tonight to discuss religion, and the episode is Religion is Just Like Drugs. And I'm going to read this to you. Religion is like drugs. People spend a lot of money on drugs. People spend a lot on religion. People talk to imaginary people on drugs. People talk to imaginary people on religion. People have withdrawals getting off of drugs. People have withdrawals getting off of religion. People get high on drugs, and people get high on religion. People on drugs have glassy eyes. People on religion have glassy eyes. People on drugs foam from the mouth. People on religion foam from the mouth. Religion has cost our people more than you can imagine. And our guest here tonight is here to give you a remedy if you listen and understand what he's saying. Dr. Walter Williams is one of the greatest scholars that we have today, trying to cure you from your imaginary friends in religion.
Okay.
I had a little bit of technical difficulty. Yeah, hold on 1 minute.
Okay.
And we're going to walk right in here to give you the cure. Dr. Walter Williams, you are on the air, and the mic is yours.
Good afternoon, Brother Akbar. Thank you for inviting me on here. I appreciate you doing that. And our conversation tonight is, what is it about? What is the topic of our conversation?
Religion is one hell of a drug.
What do you mean by that?
We're trying to show the people how it's really easier to get off of drugs than it is to get off the religion, and how religion has our people talking to imaginary folks that don't exist, foaming from the mouth, falling out. You know, the preachers is getting paid. They're spending all their money on God, who, if he created everything, he don't need no money. And we just want you to run through how they created these religions and how our people are suffering from it. I've heard you say on our other show that the preachers, you know, are misleading the people, and it's a tragedy. And I just want you to break it down for them once again so we can put it out here, because I know you're the man for the job.
Okay. Thank you for that introduction, Brother Akbar, and I will proceed in trying to do just that.
An
individual human being needs to know one thing, that no human on earth was born with a religion. When you're dealing with religion, or anyone who's dealing with a religion, no matter what name you may call that religion, Islam, Christianity, Judaism, Buddhism, Zoroastrianism, etc., etc., they do not know anything about their personal humanity, what they were born with, what they came into this world with. Okay, every human came into this world by way of a sexual intercourse between their mother and father. This is the process that creates all pro-life humans. After being incubated in your mother's womb for 9 months, then you come out as a complete child attached to your mother's umbilical cord. That umbilical cord is cut to separate you from your mother. And what is in place and what is continuing to be in place as long as you live is life that was given to you through the incubation of 9 months. And that life is continued after you come out of that incubation from and out of your mother's body and womb. Okay? So therefore, your indwelling divine spiritual birthright is life given you and to you by your mother after having a sexual intercourse with your father. So one has to realize that. And one has to also realize that no human was born with a religion. There's nothing on your birth certificate that says that you are a Christian. Nothing on your birth certificate says that you are a Muslim or a black Hebrew Israelite or Jew or Buddhist or anything like that. Okay? So all religions are man-created for the sole purpose of controlling man and man's actions. Okay? So you have to understand that first. And the second thing you have to understand is that how did you get to be a Christian or a Muslim or a black Hebrew Israelite or Jew, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera? Well, it started with your mother and your father after you came out of your mother's womb into this world as their child. Your mother and father were indoctrinated at an early age in their childhood by your grandparents. So therefore, your parents, after receiving that indoctrination from your grandparents, they now are going to pass this disease and virus on to you. But therefore, you are receiving this disease and virus called religion, called Christianity. So therefore, you are in a position not to complain, not to make a choice, because you are in your early, innocent, infant child age, okay? So therefore, you couldn't say, Mom, Dad, I don't want to be a Christian. So therefore, you continue on your life because you believe in these various religions. You believe in your parents. You don't know any better. You're thinking that this is the right way and right thing to do. So therefore, you grow up with this religion from your early child innocent age and all through grammar school, adolescence, into high school, into your adulthood. So therefore, when you have children, you will do the same thing that your parents did to you. You will pass that disease and virus on to them. You see? And they will repeat the same actions and the same way of thinking that you did when you were introduced to this and given this virus and disease called Christianity. So therefore, all religions are based on belief. That's the glue that keeps all religions together, is one's belief. Without belief, the religion falls apart. The Bible is a companion literature that is designed for Christianity and Christians. The Bible is a book that one has to believe in. Okay? So therefore, if you don't believe in the Bible is worthless. The stories that's written in the Bible becomes alive only because you believe in those particular stories that's written in the Bible. So if you don't believe in those stories that's written in the Bible becomes a dead book of literature. That's all it is. So therefore, it's your belief that keeps all religions together. But what is happening to you with this belief? Belief does not give you knowledge. Faith does not give you knowledge. What is happening with you with this belief? Belief or believing in a religion will incarcerate you, incarcerate your mind. It will put your mind in prison. It will cause you to be in bondage without you even knowing that. Now, what happens when an individual goes to prison? He is put into a cell, a 5x6 or 6x6 cell, and he stays in that cell for the duration of his sentence. If he's sentenced to life, he stays in that cell for life. Okay, he cannot think outside of that cell because in the prison system, which he is incarcerated in, has rules, regulations, and customs that he has to abide by. The same thing with all religions. All religions have rules, laws, customs and ceremonies that one has to abide by in order to practice that religion. So therefore, what you're doing to yourself without even knowing it, you are limiting your thinking, because when you are in bondage, you have a limited perspective of thought. When you're in prison, you're incarcerated in a prison, you have limited thinking ability. You cannot think outside of the laws, rules, and rituals and customs of that prison, you see? So therefore, you are in bondage. It's like when you go to church, all churches is based off of the slave plantation that our ancestors was once put in. The slave plantation is owned by the slave master. He is called Omasa. Now, in all Christian churches, you have Jesus the Christ is the head of all Christian churches. See? So therefore, Omasa and Jesus the Christ is one and the same. On the slave plantation, you also have an overseer, a boss. That is known in history as Boss Charlie. Now, in the church, the minister takes the place of Boss Charlie. Okay, he becomes the overseer. Now, where are the slaves? The slaves are sitting in the pews of the church. They're out there. They're parishioners. They are enslaved because they are enslaved by way of their belief and their thoughts and their habits, etc., that has them adapting to these various religions, you see? And we're talking about Christianity at this time, and that applies to all religions. Everything I'm saying applies to all religions, you see? Now, it's more detrimental for us Africans living in the African community to embrace a religion called Christianity. It's very detrimental to us. How? What am I talking about? Well, when you go into a church, the image on that cross is a dead white man that don't look like you. He's not an African. He belongs to the white race. So therefore, you go in there and you worship this dead white man that don't look like you. And what you're doing, you're giving the support to white supremacy when you do that. You're giving support to white superiority when you do that. You're giving support to African black inferiority. In other words, you're making yourself inferior when you do that. Also, you have to remember that the icon, the image, and symbol of white supremacy is institutionalized in all Christian churches throughout America and throughout the world. You have to really, really understand that. So what you're doing to yourself, you don't even know what you're doing to yourself because you're out of your mind. You're not in your right mind or thought or thinking, because these religions will not allow you to think. When you go to church, you don't have to think. All you got to do is come into the church with your belief, you see, and you sit in the pews with your belief. And you have faith in those beliefs. So therefore, it makes you a non-thinker. Then you give all of your power away to this dead white image on the cross called Jesus the Christ. You see? Now, I want to ask some, I have two questions that I want to ask all Christians. One, Christians, do you think that the white race will take their children and their family into a church and worship a black African Jesus on the cross and teach that that African black Jesus on the cross is their savior? You think they would tell and teach their children that this black Jesus on the cross is their savior and God? No, they wouldn't do that. So why are you going into these churches worshiping that white image on the cross that don't look like you? And why are you continuing every chance you get to support white supremacy, white superiority, and black inferiority? Why are you doing this to yourself? That's the first question. Second question I'm going to ask you is this. What is the name of your African God and Savior that looks like you? What is the name of your African God that you can call your liberator? What is the name of your African God that you can call your Savior? What is the name of your African God? I ask that question. So, continuing on with the harmful effects that these religions are doing to us as a people, I just outlined some of the most devastating harmful effects that is devastating our community. And as a result of this harmful effect that's devastating our community, we cannot advance as a people. The whole world is moving and advancing all around us, except for us living in America and throughout the world as African people. Okay? We cannot go to the table of nations. This country here, 100 years ago, you only had three races of people living in this country. You had the white man, the African, and the Indian, the native Indian, American Indian. Today, this is a diverse country. Every race of people living on planet Earth live in America. They can go to the world map and pick out where their ancestors came from on the world map. But you cannot do that simply because you call yourself black, Negro, and African American. You're going to have to cut that out, okay? You're going to have to stop using the Spanish and the Portuguese slave traders' name to identify you, us, as a people. You go to the world map looking for black land, you cannot find it. You go to the world map and look for Negro land, you cannot find it. It's not there. You go there and look for African-American land, you cannot find it. So you cannot sit at the table of nations with all these other races of people who can go to the map and pick out where their ancestors came from. But there's an empty chair there waiting to be filled. And you are the only, and we are the only people on planet Earth that can fill that chair, okay? That chair is empty because we as an African people living in the United States of America have not claimed our African ancient Egyptian ancestors as our ancestors. Our African ancient Egyptian ancestors civilized this whole entire world of humanity, okay? So therefore, when you go back and discard the name that you identify yourself with, such as black and Negro, which is synonymous, same thing, and African Americans, every name that you call yourself and identify yourself as a race of people has a history attached to it. The history that's attached to black, Negro, and African American is you're telling the world that you and your ancestors have been enslaved within the confines of the United States of America. That's all you can go. That's all you can get out of that. As far as you can go with those names is in the confines of the United States of America as your ancestors were enslaved over here in this hemisphere. See? So therefore, in order to break that and get back to your power, your greatness is lying unclaimed in the continent of Africa, known as the ancient Egyptians. Those people that created civilization for all of humanity are our ancestors, and they're waiting for us to claim our greatness because it's lying in the continent of Africa unclaimed. Now, those of you who are listening, some of you have seen the movie Selma. In the movie Selma, Amelia Boynton Robinson, the actress, was playing a scene of Amelia Boynton Robinson, who just passed away a couple of months ago. This actress, was walking down the street with another actress who was portraying Coretta Scott King. And she told Coretta Scott King, she says, "We come from a great people, a people who brought civilization to the world. Now, who are those great people that brought civilization to the world? Those great people that brought civilization to the world are our ancestors, the ancient Egyptians, who lived in the continent of Africa, who brought civilization, who were the only literate people on planet Earth during the time of antiquity, ancient times. Why? What made them the only literate people? Because they created the world's first alphabet. An alphabet makes any human literate, because you can take that alphabet, you can write with it, you can read with it. You see? So they created the rudiments for all of civilization, for all of humanity. So therefore, we have to identify and claim our greatness, lying unclaimed in the continent of Africa. Okay? And we must claim and identify ourselves and call ourselves African ancient Egyptians instead of calling yourself black, Negro, and African Americans. Now, you call yourself African ancient Egyptians because you want to distinguish the difference between you, us as a people, as an African people, from those white Arabs who are living in Egypt today who call themselves Egyptians. They have a right to do that because they live over there. But they do not have the right to claim for their ancestors who built the Great Pyramid, the Sphinx, who bought civilization, who created mathematics, and so forth and so on, domesticated the earth, domesticated animals, who first were the world's first farmers and created animal husbandry, agriculture, and so forth and so on. That was part of civilization that they brought here. They cannot claim those African people as their ancestors. We are the only ones that can claim it. So, but the school system that we have been taught in this country, the United States of America, has taught us away from ancient Egypt on purpose. When I went to school, I was sitting up in school, a boy in Chicago, and they gave me a book in grammar school called Little Black Sambo. And Little Black Sambo was a book that I was supposed to identify with racially. Little Black Sambo, for those who don't know about Little Black Sambo or never heard of Little Black Sambo, Little Black Sambo is the African boy who took the tiger by the tail and went around and around and around a tree to both turn to butter. Okay? Now, that was supposed to be my history, our history. Okay? And that same book, Little Black Sambo, was given to the white child to make that white child feel superior over us. You see? And that book was supposed to degrade us, which it did. See? But it only made me, Walter Williams, mad, because at that point I said, now we have to be a greater people than Little Black Sambo. So, but I didn't know at the time anything about any subjects or the subjects that I know now because I was a boy. So as I grew up, I held that thought. I incubated that thought in my subconscious mind that we as a race of people, an African people, we have to be greater than Little Black Sambo. And I found out through the musician called Sun Ra, when I was a musician that I had just graduated out of high school, and I met Sun Ra. And he told us that we, as an African people, are descendants of the greatest people that ever walked this earth, the ancient Egyptians. You see? So that's where we have to go. This is what has happened to us and is continuing to happen to us by way of these religions. They are destroying us. And the agent for the system that we live in that is destroying us with these religions is the minister, Reverend. He's encouraging us to bow down to the state pipe, which is the cross, and he keeps the enforcement of white supremacy in force. So he doesn't blame it, but some of them don't. Some of them do. So some of them are just in it for the money, you see. So you have to understand those things that I have just explained to you in order for you to resurrect yourself into a higher level of spiritual and mental consciousness.
Exactly. And you can't break it down no better than that. I'm going to let in Brother Bartley. Do you have anything to say to our esteemed guest before I let in the caller?
Oh, yes. I want to say my Hotep to my brother.
Yeah, Hotep, Brother Bartley.
Yes, sir, and all the listening audience out there, I hope that you don't be offended by what you're hearing, because it's not intended to offend you. It's intended to enlighten you. That's what we really need today. We need enlightenment, because the world is changing so fast, and we as an African people are left so far behind. And like Dr. Williams was saying, religion has really messed us up. And the only way that we're going to get out of this mess is that we have to take another look at the way we believe in these things and research these things, find out about it, go to the library. You got a computer, go on the Internet. Like Amos Wilson said, you have to will yourself to be ignorant today in this type of world with all this information out here. So, you know, I'm a student, and I'm getting all this good information from Dr. Williams, and I hope the listening audience do the same. So, gentlemen, carry on.
Now, let me interject this. I want to tell the listening audience, the ones who first time hearing me, if you're a Christian, I'm not telling you not to be a Christian. I have no right to tell you not to be a Christian. I didn't tell you to be one, so I have no right to tell you not to be one. That's not my intent. My intent is to bring a message to you to try to help you to provoke thought coming from the words that is coming out of my mouth. I hope that what's coming out of my mouth will provoke thought in you, will give you the information to liberate you as a human being. Now, I've written two books. One, The Historical Origin of Christianity. Two, The Historical Origin of Islam. In the Christianity book, which has been out for 22 years, the thesis of that book is saying that there's never been a man that ever walked the earth in human form of any race, creed, or color by the name of Jesus Christ. And I walk you through the progression of what I'm saying and what the thesis is saying in my book. The second book, The Historical Origin of Islam, has been out for 12 years. The thesis of that book is saying that there's never been a man that ever walked the earth in human form by the name of a Prophet Muhammad of Islamic tradition. Never existed. And between the two books, that book has been out for 12 years. So between the two books, The Historical Origin of Christianity is continued in The Historical Origin of Islam. Okay? So I just want to introduce you and make you aware of my two books, The Historical Origin of Christianity and The Historical Origin of Islam. So, Brother Akbar, back to you.
Yes. And I want to put this in. I personally invited over 500 people. If they don't press 1, I can't see them. If you have any questions, press 1 so you can ask the great doctor. There's a lot of people I know that shy away from this because they're hooked on religion. Even though they talk this and they talk that, they're hooked. And then they create new religions. You know, I see this Egyptology thing. I used to really believe deeply in Egyptology. I mean, you couldn't tell me that I wasn't the great god Ptah and all these different names that the white people have put out here for us. I just want you to explain how, you know, when we come back or before the hour is out, if you can, Doc, to explain how these people faked all this so-called, they deciphered the hieroglyphics and they knew how the people talked and what they said and what they was meaning and all this stuff, if you have time. That's all I wanted to say. Now I'm going to let in a caller. Okay, here we go. Yes, caller. with 3304. Do you have a question?
May I hotep, Dr. Williams, and your esteemed host?
May I hotep, my brother?
Keith from Chicago, just calling in to represent.
Do you have a question, my brother?
No. No, no question. I listen to Doc all the time, and again, I'm just calling in to show support and to represent for me and my household, because I was once a Christian and then another version of Christianity. I went the Hebrew Israelite route until I ran into, stumbled across, actually, Dr. Williams' information. And so I've been liberated. And as always, I love you and I thank you.
And I love you too, my brother, and your wife, Joy. And I appreciate you for what you all are doing and trying to do. So I said to you both, Mayat Hotep.
Mayat Hotep.
And thank you for tuning in, brother. We appreciate you. I want to let in the next caller. Yes. Caller 8978. Do you have a question for the esteemed doctor? 8978 253 861-8978. Well, I guess they don't want to say anything, but we appreciate you for tuning in. All right, Doc, we seem like the people are going to download this show, but you know what's going on YouTube, because the last two shows that I done with you is up over 10,000 listeners now. And,
oh, wow.
Yeah, both of them are over 10,000, and the other one is over 6,000 listeners now. So we get better when we put them on YouTube for them to hear, because a lot of people like to hear and they don't want to talk and you know, yeah, I think they're kind of scared of this. You know, I think they're kind of scared of what you're saying.
Want them, Brother Akbar, to be afraid. I mean, I want you to be at ease. You can talk to me, and the reason why you can talk to me is because I love you. I'm only working and doing and studying what I'm about to bring you information that will give you the information to liberate your own self if you accept it, okay? I'm not trying to take anything away from you. I'm not trying to degrade you. I'm not trying to do anything against you. I love you. I want our people to come up out of this funk and bring themselves out of what they're in at this moment, which is something that is destroying us as a people. So therefore, this is all I want. I want us to come up out of this funk and begin to think, provoke thought to what you're doing to yourselves and what is happening to our African community in America. So don't be afraid to call in, okay? And
yes.
So this is what I have to say about that.
And we're going to let this next caller in. Before you, come on, brother, I'm going to let this next caller in. They just called in.
Good. Let him in.
1645, do you have any questions for the great doctor?
Hello?
Yes.
Hello?
Yes, we hear you,
Hello?
Brother. Yes.
Y'all can hear me?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, we hear you.
Okay. Hey, how y'all doing tonight?
Wonderful. How are you, brother?
Very well, very well. Yeah, it's my first time ever calling in, but, you know, just even on the topic, I know it always you know, has its just to do for some good dialogue, you know what I mean? But anyhow, a question for the good doctor there. why is it that, or what is it going to take for us to realize that religion is that one stranglehold that's keeping everybody to say, well, this is what I believe, and this is what you believe, and this is what you believe, so, you know, we're not going to be able to come together as one to even have dialogue about one ideology or one, you know, overall thought as a people in order to move forward and fight racism, white supremacy, because, you know, right now all we seeming to do is, you know, quote unquote pray about everything, and when about 80% of them are praying to something an entity, a deity that doesn't even look like them. Like their mind isn't even wrapped around that within any religion that's formed, is there a deity that looks like you? You know what I mean?
Yes.
And it's like for us to not realize that as very intelligent, melanated human beings, that's a scary thought to think that that's a stranglehold on a number that we can't even fathom, brother. On a number that we can't even fathom. And there has to be a forum for all of these good minds out here like yours and, you know, countless others that I do admire, but this is about you, brother. And what is it going to take for us to come together, sit down and say, hey, man, we know that, you know, this is not about this belief and this, that, and the third. When it all comes down to it, show me something that's out there that they're selling that looks like us. Well, damn it, if it doesn't look like us, why the hell are we buying it? Why the hell are we buying it?
I agree to that, because I spoke about that. Have you listened to, or did you listen to this program from the beginning?
No, sir, I haven't. No, go ahead.
Well, I addressed that. I addressed exactly what you were saying at this very moment and what you're talking about.
Oh, wow.
I suggest that you maybe hear this program in its entirety, okay?
Okay.
See, we need to have a movement.
Mm-hmm.
Like the Rosa Parks Martin Luther King movement.
Right.
Okay, to make this change. They started a movement for social change in this country. We have to start, some young person really has to start a movement against religion and the churches and the ministers. Okay.
Wow, that's a fight. That's a big fight.
Okay, so this is what I'm talking about. But see, I can't do that.
Mm-hmm.
See, you can. You're a young mm-hmm. man. Okay. I've been out here for 40 years.
Right.
It's going to take a young person with a vision, using my words and my teachings to come out here and confront the whole world with a movement. Martin Luther King did it. Rosa Parks did it. They confronted the whole world, the United States included, with their movement. Okay? So therefore, we're going to have to confront religion with a movement. That means that we're going to have to not go to churches or church. Mm-hmm. That means that we're going to have to denounce Christianity and
right.
tell it like it is about the truth about these various religions. We're going to have to replace it with the understanding of our own humanity, because everybody or anyone that claims a religion is telling you, me, the world, I know nothing about my own personal humanity. That means you know nothing about yourself. You're just going on belief from what your parents have taught you from your early child innocent age, when you were a child. You see? Right. So they are the ones that pass this disease and virus on to you. Okay?
Right.
Because your grandparents pass disease and virus of religion onto them, and your great-grandparents passed it on to your grandparents. Back. So here we are today in the year 2015, repeating the same thing. Okay?
Right.
So we're going to have a movement. Okay? And see, praying, I heard you mention prayer. Praying is a form of begging. We cannot go into these churches and beg this white man on the cross. Okay?
Right.
And ask him for justice and so forth and so on. And you come out of these churches after begging this dead white man on the cross that don't look like you. You come out into the world, and you have to beg this white man that looks like the white man that you just got to praying to on the cross. You got to beg him for justice, jobs, and special equality.
Yeah.
That don't make sense.
Right.
We're not getting anywhere with that, you see? So these are some of the things I touched on earlier. You see? And like let me tell you this, my brother, before you hang up. I also said in this program, I asked a question to all Christians. Do you think that the white race will take their children and their family into a church and where a black African Jesus is hanging on the cross and teach their children and their family that this black African Jesus is your God and Savior? You think they would do that, brother? Hell no, they won't do that. Okay, that's my first question. Second question, I ask the Christians, all Christians, what is the name of your African God and Savior? What is the name of your African God that is your liberator? What is the name of your African God that you will bow down to and call your Savior? What is the name of the African God? You know why you can't tell me or give me a name? You don't have one. I'm not talking about you personally. I'm talking about us as a people.
In general, yeah.
So what you're saying, when you came on this program, I had already addressed that, but I'm glad you brought it up. I'm glad you are getting the message. And you somehow in your life, something made you to provoke thought.
It really was just, you know, growing up in Arkansas, and which is where I am, and you know, you get to see a lot, you know, and you look around on every corner, and there's a cross, and you know, it's overwhelming. But then you're seeing how you're being treated in the process of it.
Correct.
And it's very, very different here in Arkansas. Of course, for crying out loud, this is the last place in America to the city I was born in, Little Rock, last place in America to have schools be segregated.
Wow. You know? Okay.
So Little Rock. So I'm from that area, and actually my grandmother grew up right around the corner from Central High School.
Oh, okay.
So I got that's history right up the street.
Right.
But you know, no, you see these things on every corner and every facet of your life. And you know, you understand, and you start to put things together, and you know, if we want to go back, if somebody brings you over here on a ship called Jesus, you know, you just gotta have some questions there, to where they, just like you say, with you mentioned it with, you know, yes, our parents, you know, were forced to, you know, to worship these things, you know, or else, you know. So now it's like, yeah, we're coming into the thought process of right now that there is no, we can't continue this thought process.
Correct.
We cannot continue this thought process because it is the very thought process that is allowing us to quote unquote obey and not question these things that are going on. You know, brother, I grew up Baptist, and you know, the thing that did it for me was, You know, I was in college playing a little college football when 9/11 happened, and it was just and in that moment right there, I seen this overwhelming Muslim this, Muslim that, and you know, so I questioned being as a 20-year-old man, a 20-year-old young man that like, man, this, you know, this is overwhelming thing with Islam. What is this deal with Islam? When I got out of school, my brother introduced the autobiography of Malcolm X to me, and I began to get into those things and then understand Islam and then even ended up converting to Islam, and it brought the peace and it was different for me, and then you still saw the mistreatment within Arabs, within that, you know what I mean? It's like,
right.
you start to see then that you don't have any damn friends. You know what I mean? Like, if everywhere that you turn, you know, it's a fake brotherhood within it, and you know, we just have to now stop cycle and like you say, you know, because my mother is even in the church, but I can still be able to have this kind of dialogue with her and not, you know, disrespect what it is that she's doing. You got to play chess and understand that this is a bigger fight than just, you know, no, that's not what you should believe. You know what I mean? Like, this is on a whole grander scale. And I would love, you know, and so that's what my mind is now. It's saying, man, there has to be an initiation. I have to be around people who are trying to do and go at just that, because, you know, I have two daughters and, you know, they can't repeat the cycle that I repeat as far as what they believe. You know what I mean?
Right, you're right.
And be out there in that society and, you know, going along with these, you know, these damn fairy tales.
Correct.
You know, it's way deeper than that. And I know that we're intelligent enough to know that you know, that there's strings that everybody's getting strung along like puppets. And it's like, damn, like, no, we're way stronger than that, you know, on a grander scale. But, you know, they're throwing in all these damn distractions to get, you know, you go along to get along. Everybody wants to be a part of a damn group is the problem. You know, no one can be themselves. It's you know, I'm a part of this group over here because they got this much money and this is what they represent. I'm a part of this group. It's the same division even within people that are in the church. You
Correct.
Know, it's with how big is your church? And, you know, my pastor got this. Like, that's division. Like, can you you're good at that? Like, that's division within itself.
Correct.
You know, different forms of one form of a belief. That's man taking over what they would like for you to do. You know, that's man taking over, this is what you should believe because I say that you should believe. You know, so this is what we believe over here. Like, and we have to be, like, I you know, that baffles me that on a grand scale that everybody can, you know, drop their bags where they're at and say, all right, look, well, you know, what's the plan? You know, and step by step, goal by goal, chop this damn tree down. You know, like it's possible. It's,
correct.
It's possible.
Well, you see, you have to understand this, my brother. Are you still there?
Yes, sir.
You have to understand that no human on earth was born with a religion.
Not
you
at all.
Come here with a religion. Man created a religion for man to control man, just like you were saying. The agent for the system that we live in, that you have experienced your life in this system, the agent for that control going is the minister of these churches. He's the agent for that. He's our enemy in our own midst of our community. He's in the midst of our community, but he's an enemy, okay? Because he keeps encouraging us as a people, an African people, to come into the church and bow down to this white man on the cross they call Jesus the Christ. He keeps encouraging that. And when that happens, what he is also encouraging is white supremacy.
Mm-hmm.
See? And white superiority. He's supporting black African inferiority that makes us inferior as a people. We're worshiping an image, a dead white man on the cross that don't even look like us. So therefore, this minister is the agent for that. So you and your thoughts that you have so eloquently spoke this evening on this radio, you are absolutely right. You're on the right track. So keep up the good work, and thanks so much for your call.
Hey, I appreciate it. Take care. Blessings to you both.
Okay, another thing, brother, before you leave. Are you aware of two books?
Am I aware of, say again?
Are you aware of my two books I've written?
No, sir, I'm not.
Okay.
Please inform me of them.
Okay, I'm going to tell you. Now, I'm not trying to sell books. I don't want to.
No.
Because okay, so my book, listen to this now. My book, the first book, is called The Historical Origin of Christianity. The thesis of that book is saying that there's never been a man that ever walked the earth in human form of any race, creed, or color by the name of Jesus Christ. That's on the front cover of that book. And there's a picture of this image, icon of this Jesus the Christ, blonde, blue-eyed. And under the caption of this picture of this Jesus Christ, it says, the created creature, Jesus the Christ. That book has been out for 23 years, selling all over America, in the UK, all English-speaking countries, and the Caribbean. My second book is called The Historical Origin of Islam. And the thesis of this book is saying that there's never been a man that ever walked the earth in human form by the name of a Prophet Muhammad of Islamic tradition, never existed. So I want to make you aware of my two books.
Okay.
And from the Christianity book, Christianity, I walk you through the process of how Christianity was made, how the image that we know today as Jesus the Christ was created and made. And I walk you through that process, and it continued that process in the Islam book. So those are my two books. I want to make you aware of them. If you care to buy them to further enhance your knowledge of what you have and your thoughts of what you have at this very moment that I'm talking to you, those are the two books to do it.
Right. Hey, I appreciate that. And that's definitely the path that I'm on, trying to, build a library of things of importance to pass on. So I definitely appreciate the information for sure. All right. Again,
all right,
take care.
Okay, may I hotep to you, my brother.
All right, hotep.
Thank you, brother. Thank you, brother, for calling in. Okay, we're gonna try this other caller. But first, before I let him in, I wanna interject this. Down in Charleston, South Carolina, I think it was either 8 or 9 people was shot down and killed in the church. But no Jesus, no white God, or none of that stuff came to help them. Going back to the bombing in Birmingham, where the 4 girls were blown up in the church, there was no Savior to help them. Our people got to really wake up and wonder, when is this Savior going to come to save anything?
And Katrina and that also.
Yeah. Katrina and every other catastrophe black people done been through. There's been no saviors to come and save you. We have to save ourselves. If we don't start to save ourselves, we're going to be doomed as a people.
That's correct.
Yeah. So the other caller just switched out. Let me see. Hold on 1 minute. Yes. Okay. It's going a little slow there. Okay, that call is not coming in to check there. Okay, so Doc, you can continue on. Yeah, we have reached our hour that we were going to spend. If you want to say something else before we cut the show.
Well, I was wondering, did Brother Bartley want to say anything?
Yes, Brother Bartley.
Well, I would like to thank Dr. Williams for the courage that he has shown in his scholarship, because there's not too many so-called scholars out here that would come forth with this type of information. And I want him to know that I personally appreciate that, you see, because what he's doing is revolutionary in a sense that it is something that is giving life and light to the mind. And the mind is the most precious thing that we have as a human being. So once again, Akbar, I'd like to thank you, because you were the one who introduced me to Dr. Williams with this Serapis when I was given a talk at the UNIA. You see, you had mentioned something about there never was a Muhammad. I said, what? What you talking about, bro?
Wow.
They wanted to kill me.
There never was a Christ. Man, wow. Let's get it.
Wow.
Yeah, and it was at an Egyptology. It was at an ASCAT Egyptology meeting, and I was surprised that these people were in there talking about Osiris and all that, but most of all of them were Christians still. And I couldn't believe it. I mean, they in there talking about Maat Hotep and, you know, all kinds of Egyptian names that was running down. And when I mentioned that, the Christianity flowed out of them. And one guy ran out the building and told me I was the devil and everything. And I had put on the video you did on the three European religions.
Yeah.
And I mean, this guy ran out the building and said he was never coming back in the UNIA in Philadelphia.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, I done had so many people. They almost threatened me for talking about your work, Doc. I mean,
wow.
I couldn't believe, I'm telling you, I couldn't believe that these people run around talking about they know about Dr. Ben and Dr. Clark and all these people, and they were still talking to Jesus Christ stuff, this ASCAT movement.
Yeah, that ASCAT.
And
go ahead.
Go ahead, Brother Akbar.
Yeah, I almost joined them. Because they were all had on the Ankhs and all that, because, you know, I was deep into the Egyptology thing. I mean, dude, Brother Bartley told me he had the whole outfit before.
I did. I had the whole Egyptian outfit. I started this thing about Egypt in 1972.
Oh, wow,
now,
okay.
Okay, this is the time when Sun Ra was in Philadelphia.
Yeah, he lived in Philadelphia at that time, yeah.
Yeah, and, you know, we was in the movement, and he talked to us, you know, Sun Ra could talk.
Oh, Mr. Big Time.
I mean, he talked to you for hours.
Hey, Big Time without stopping.
Yeah, but at that time when you're young, you know, I was still drinking wine and calling myself an Egyptian, you know what I'm saying? I was Egyptian. I was high.
Right.
But as you mature and evolve, then you begin to study a little bit.
Correct.
You know. So you study. Then you study these different religions and stuff like that. Then all of a sudden, a light bulb went off in my head. And said, "Man, this is all mysticism."
Right.
Give this stuff up.
Right.
But when Akbar, you know, I was telling him about mysticism. Man, you mystic. Stop being mystic. That's all these brothers are nothing but a bunch of black hippies and mystics. All right. So
all
then, right. Then we even talking about some Serapis. What Serapis? You know?
Wow.
So, you know, and that really accelerated my growth.
That's wonderful.
That really accelerated my growth, and that's been 3 years ago.
Oh, wow. Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
That's wonderful.
But listen here, Doc. I read your first book almost about 20 years ago, or probably when it came out. I got it from the Shrine of the Madonna in Detroit. And don't you know, I basically threw that book down. I want to ignore everything you said because I wanted to hold on to what Dr. Ben and Dr. Clark and them were saying about the Egypt thing. And I mean, it just feels so great. But really hurting me now to see that our people is turning this into a religion. You can give our people a rock and they will turn it into some type of religion.
Hey.
I don't matter with black people. Everything has to be a religion to them. You know, it's like they can't get out this invisible God, invisible people and stuff like that. It's, they're worse than children that believe in Peter Pan and Walt Disney and all these fake things. And they need to wake up because the religion has done nothing for them. Africa is the richest continent on earth, but the people are the poorest on earth. That should tell you something.
That's
right. Two major religions, Islam and Christianity, dominate Africa. All the tribal religions, they basically almost gone. But nothing, done nothing for them but make them the serfs of the whole planet.
Correct.
Mm-hmm.
Well, see, we need scholars such as myself and others to come with a movement and begin to dismantle all this confusion out here. You can only dismantle this confusion by way of having knowledge to do that. Knowledge is power. If you have the right knowledge, you can dissolve all this confusion out here. Okay, but it has to start with a movement of young people, and they're the ones that can escalate it to the height of where it needs to be, because they have the energy to do that, but they need the knowledge to do that. Okay, so we have to continue on. Like you have this radio talk show, you have to continue on with it. You invited me on your radio show. I appreciate that. Mm. And you keep it out there in the forefront, okay? Somebody is listening out there. You don't know where your radio blog talk will go and find an individual who will listen to the conversation, and that conversation will provoke thought, and a light bulb will come on, and they will change. I get emails all over the world and all throughout this country from people who said, I've heard you, I read your books, and I found that what you are saying is true. You have liberated me. You have saved me. And they give me all types of accolades. So you have to keep on doing what we're doing in order for the message to continue to go through. And as the message goes through and people listen to the message, those who want to provoke thought, use the message to provoke thought and make change or changes in their life, they will do that. Okay? So we have to continue on doing what we're doing, you see. And to Brother Bartley, are you still there?
Yes, sir. I'm still here.
Okay. Did you tell your lady friend what I said about the books?
Yes, sir. I told her she's supposed to have been calling in tonight. I guess she got scared. I mean, some people are fearful of scholars in a way, especially this type of scholarship that you bring.
Mm-hmm.
You see, because that threatens everything that they were taught.
That's correct.
All their hopes and dreams within to what they believe, that belief system that they had, and they feel threatened by someone who's coming with a new type of scholarship and actually giving them facts about the subject, and that's to them is threatening, and they don't want to indulge or engage in conversations about it. They're fearful.
Right. saying to that, what I was said to that, like I said before, earlier in this broadcast, that belief does not give one knowledge, or faith does not give knowledge. Okay. What happens when an individual believes, which is very dangerous, to believe in something that you know nothing about. You don't know anything about. A person say, I'm a Christian. They know nothing about Christianity, nothing at all. Okay? The Bible is a book that one has to believe in. And they make you fearful for you not to believe in it, because they tell you that this Bible is the Word of God. Don't question it. You see? So, therefore, you become fearful of even questioning the Bible. You see? Belief only puts the individual who believe in these religions, they put you in bondage. They put your mind in an incarcerated situation. You incarcerate your own self. You put yourself in a prison, a cell in a prison, which is 5x6 or 6x6. And in your belief, you can only go back and forth in that cell, back and forth in your belief. So therefore, you cannot grow with belief. You've got to come outside of your belief and become free. All humans was born free when they came out of their mother's womb. Their parents are the ones that indoctrinated them into a religion. In other words, their parents are the ones who raised them, assassinated their personal spirituality, okay? And they put them in these churches, and these preachers will scare the hell out of you, preaching and hooping and howling and singing about Jesus and all this other confusion out here. Because one has to remember, now Christians remember this, what I'm saying. I love you, and I'm not trying to take your Christianity away. If you want to hold on to your Christianity, you can do that. You have a perfect human right to do that. No human on earth has a right to come up and tell you not to be a Christian. I can't do it. I didn't tell you to be one, so I can't tell you not to be one. But I can give you information, if you accept the information, that will provoke thought in your thinking so you can free yourself. Because like you heard, the mind is a terrible thing to waste. That's true. That's the Negro College Fund theme. A mind is a terrible thing to waste. So what you're doing by accepting any religion, especially Christianity, is that you are wasting your mind and your life. So if you want to continue to do that, fine. Nothing I can do about it. I can only tell you what's happening to us as a people, what has happened to us as a people, what is continuing to happen to us as a people, okay? And I can only bring you information, hopefully, to make you think so you can free yourself. I can't free you. I can't liberate you. You have to do that yourself, you see? So if you don't want to liberate yourself, if you want to continue to go into these churches and worship this white man, that dead white man on that cross, and you and continue to call that dead white man that don't look like you your savior, there's nothing I can do about that. Nothing at all. So that's what I have to say about that to Christians. And I've said, if anybody heard the broadcast from the beginning, the things that I have said to you in this broadcast this evening, if that doesn't provoke thought, then you don't want to be liberated. Okay? I can't, nothing I can do for you. You see? So, that's what I have to say about that.
Before we go off the air, I want to try to give this other caller a chance to see if they want to say anything. A caller with the last four digits, 3304. Do you have a question? 708-289-3304. Okay, they don't
Hello?
Have a question. Oh, they did have a question. Hold on. Hello?
Hello?
Yes. How you doing, brother? Hello?
I hear you, my brother.
We
can
hear
you. The brother, Akbar?
I can't hear him no more. He said hello, then he went dead.
Well, he has to hit one.
Yeah, hit one, brother. 708-289-3304. Do you have a question?
Hello?
Yes, hello?
Yeah, I already spoke. I don't know why it put me back in. This is Keith from Chicago.
Okay, all right then. All right, my brother.
Okay.
Have a good night.
All right. You too.
Okay, let me try this other one here. See what happens here. The caller, do you have any more questions?
Oh, yeah, I think I missed the last 30 minutes or so. I mean, the beginning 30 minutes, because I think I got on at 6. Somebody shut me off at 6. 30-something I called back on and was on, so I missed all
that.
Is there any way I can get a replay of that, or?
Yeah, it's going to be it's going to be able to hear the whole show. Once we finish tonight, give it about 15 minutes, you can go and get the whole show. But do you have any questions for the doc about religion and, you know, why people are, you know, I don't even know what to say.
Yeah, I can't remember. Yeah, I have a question. Like, I've heard different ways of how all this religion started, that Judaism started first, where it came from from the Egyptians and I think Ethiopians, and then it went from Judaism. Judaism created the Christian religion, and then the Christian religion created Islam, and they like all part of the same, you know, like divisions, basically, I guess, based off of our, how do you call it? I forgot. But is that partially true, or?
That's not historically incorrect.
Okay.
Now, what, Akbar, you need to announce to the listening audience what we're going to do by way of bringing forth the progression. I'm going to give the entire progression of how Christianity came about, which is the world's first religion, not Judaism. Okay? I'm going to show you and explain to you where and who created the image that we know today as Jesus the Christ. I'm going to walk you through the 9 ecumenical council meetings. Nicaea 1, 325, Constantinople 1, 381, Ephesus 431, Chalcedon 451, Constantinople 2, 553, Constantinople 3, 680. I'm going to walk you through the 7th council meeting, one that no one is talking about, the Council of Hyrea, 754. I'm going to talk, bring you through the 8th council meeting, the Council of Nicaea 2, 787, the iconoclastic controversy. And I'm going to bring you to the 9th one, is the Phocis Filioque controversy. We're going to bring you all the way through that. But we're going to do it on Akbar's show. I'm going to do it. But it's going to be in part 1. In part 2, and we're going to go maybe into part 3. It will be part 1 and part 2. So, Akbar, you need to make that announcement.
Yes, yes. And we're going to do that next month on the 7th. And the doc is going to lay it down. This is, for what I know, he only did one part on another brother's show, and he's going to do it on our show. And we're very appreciative that he's going to put this information out to uplift the minds of the people if they accept the truth.
Correct. And another thing, Brother Akbar, I'm going to, on your show, I'm going to explain how, when, and who brought Christianity to Ethiopia. I'm going to explain on your show how, when, and who took the Gala tribe of Ethiopia and turned them into the Falashas, how they brought Messianic Judaism into Ethiopia, what year, et cetera. I'm going to run the whole gamut down to you. So that, look forward to that coming up on the Akbar, the Truth Doctrine Show.
I should, Doc, I should rename the show Wake Up African Egyptian People.
Okay.
I'm thinking.
Okay. African Ancient Egyptian.
That's right.
Yeah. An ancient Egyptian people.
Yeah.
You still hear me?
We have burned out our time. We're over time. And
okay.
We just want to thank you. We want to thank the doc again and for coming on and giving us this knowledge. And I hope that you all love tonight's episode of Wake Up African People. Good night.
May I hotel?
Good night. Good night, Maya.
Okay, I need to, Akbar, can you, you got enough time for me to give my email out?
Yes, go ahead.
If anybody wants to email me, you can email me at ancientegyptian@msn.com. ancientegyptian@msn.com. Put your name, put your name and phone number on your email, and I'll call you back. To that, I'll say Maat Hotep.
Maat Hotep. Good night.